Today we're building a bass squabble that feels like it belongs to the jungle break, not something just sitting on top of it. That's the real goal here. In drum and bass, the best bass lines don't just sound heavy, they share the same rhythmic identity as the drums. The wobble breathes with the swing, the sub stays locked and centered, and the movement in the mid layer feels like it was cut from the same edit as the break. We're working in Ableton Live 12, and the first thing to do is define the drum pocket before you write a single bass note. Loop up 2 or 4 bars of your drum foundation. Kick, snare, hats, break layer, ghost notes, whatever you've got. Before the bass comes in, listen to how the groove naturally leans. If your break already has swing, don't force the bass into a hard grid. Use the groove pool if you need it, but keep the swing subtle and intentional. You want the bass to answer the drum language, not flatten it. Why this works in D&B is simple. The drums in jungle and drum and bass carry micro movement. Hats sit slightly late, ghost notes flick around the snare, and the break has that forward, shuffling momentum. If the bass ignores that and lands as a rigid 16th note pattern, the whole thing feels static, even if the sound design is massive. So think of the bass as part of the break choreography, not a separate layer. Now build the bass properly. Split it into 2 jobs. One layer is the sub, the other is the moving mid bass. Keep them separate if you can. For the sub, use something clean like operator or wave eatable with a sine style patch. Mono only, no stereo widening. Keep the envelope tight and controlled, usually somewhere around a short decay if you want punch, or a little longer if you want more glide, but always disciplined. Place the sub notes where the kick and bass relationship needs authority, usually on the strongest anchors in the phrase. Then build the mid layer. This is where the wobble, attitude, and rhythm live, wave eatable, operator, or even a resampled bass file all work. Start simple. A chain like wave eatable into saturator into auto filter into EQ8 is enough to make this work. Saturator gives you harmonic bite. Auto filter gives you the wobble motion. EQ8 keeps the kick and snare zones clear. Now program the rhythm and resist the urge to fill every gap. That's one of the biggest mistakes in the style. Start with a 1-bar or 2-bar loop and place your bass around the kick and snare framework. Let the bass support the backbeat, not chase every hat tick. A strong approach is to use 1 longer note into the snare, 1 shorter response after the snare, then a rest that gives the break space to speak. What to listen for here is really important. The snare should still punch through clearly when the bass enters. If the bass is swallowing the ghost notes or making the backbeat feel smaller, the rhythm is too dense. Pull notes out. In drum and bass, leaving space is often what makes the groove feel bigger. Now for the wobble itself. Use auto filter on the mid layer and shape the movement with filter motion rather than just trying to make the LFO faster and faster. A low pass can keep things darker and more roller friendly. A band pass can give you a more nasal, euro-leaning edge. For darker material, you usually do not need a huge sweep. A focused mid-range wobble can cut harder than a giant open filter. Also, don't make the wobble rate constant across the whole phrase. That's another thing that can flatten the groove. Let the motion change by phrase. Maybe bar 1 has a slower wobble, then bar 2 tightens up for impact, or the first half of the loop feels looser, and the second half gets sharper. That phrasing keeps the bass alive. It feels performed instead of programmed. If you're deciding between 2 directions, think like this. If the break is really busy, go for a tighter, more percussive wobble with shorter notes. That way the bass becomes part of the rhythm section. If the drums already have plenty of motion and you want more dread, go wider and more menacing with longer notes and deeper filter movement. Tight and punchy, or slower and heavier. Both work. Pick the one that supports the drum pocket. Now let's talk about the timing, because this is where the jungle feel really comes alive. Don't just quantize everything perfectly. That can make the loop feel sterile. Keep the main bass anchors solid, but nudge 1 or 2 follow-up notes a tiny bit late. Not a huge amount. Just enough to create that human, leaning feel. A few milliseconds is plenty. You are not dragging the groove. You are giving it attitude. What to listen for is the relationship between the bass and the ghost notes. The bass should seem to dance around them, not sit on top of them. If the line feels perfectly gridlocked, you lose the jungle swing. If it's too late, the snare loses authority. So the sweet spot is a controlled push and pull. A really useful workflow here is to make 2 versions of the MIDI clip. One version is tight, one version is slightly lazier. Compare them against the drums. In a lot of cases, the cleaner version wins in the full mix, even if the busier one sounds more exciting in solo. That's a big production lesson right there. What feels huge in headphones is not always what works in the track. On the processing side, Keep the sub boring and reliable. That's a good thing. If you need it, use SecQA to clean up low mid buildup. But don't hollow out the body. The sub should be the most stable part of the whole patch. For the mid layer, you can be much more aggressive. Add drive, add harmonics, let it get rough. Just don't let that energy spill into the sub range. That's where clubs punish you. If the mid bass starts getting too wild, use EQ to carve space around the snare body. Usually there's a little low mid area where the bass and snare can clash. The exact frequency depends on the sample, but the point is to keep the snare readable. The snare is the emotional anchor in a lot of DNB grooves. If the bass masks it, the track loses its spine. And here's another key thing. Don't rely on stereo movement to make the bass interesting. Keep the sub dead center. If you widen the mid layer, make sure the track still works in mono. A bass line that only feels alive because of phase tricks is fragile. If the mono version falls apart, the club system will expose it immediately. So do a mono check early. If the bass collapses, reduce width and lean more on rhythm, filter motion, and distortion instead. Once the phrase is working, consider committing the mid layer to auto. This is a really powerful move in DNB because it lets you treat the bass like a performance, not just a synth patch. Freeze it, flatten it, resample it, whatever makes sense. Then you can cut tails, reverse slices, move a hit before a snare, or duplicate a wobble as a turnaround fill. That's how modulation becomes arrangement, and that arrangement piece matters. A great jungle swing bass should not be equally active for every bar. Give a loop a shape. Let one section establish the groove, then add a denser answer phrase a few bars later. Maybe the second drop starts with a more aggressive version and then strips back. Maybe a turnaround bar gets thinner so the next hit lands harder. In DNB, negative space is part of the rhythm section. Don't fill every gap just because you can. Here's a good way to think about the final pass. In context, check three things. First, kick and sub should not be fighting in the same transient space. Second, the snare should still be the loudest or most important mid-range hit in the loop. Third, the ghost notes should still be audible, even if they're subtle. If all three are happening, you're on the right track. If the loop sounds great solo but weak with the drums, trust the full context, not the solo. A lot of advanced basses fall into that trap. They sound exciting on their own, but once the break comes back, the pocket disappears. Always ask yourself one question. Does this change make the snare clearer, or does it just make the bass feel more animated in headphones? If it's only helping the headphone thrill, you may want to freeze it, bounce it, and move on. A few extra advanced tricks can really elevate this. You can print a second pass of the mid bass with slightly different filter motion, and alternate them every two or four bars. That gives motion without sounding like obvious automation. You can also vary note lengths by tiny amounts. A note ending 10 to 30 milliseconds earlier can make the groove feel sharper. A slightly longer note can make it feel heavier and more savage. Those tiny changes matter more than people think. If you want more menace, keep the wobble lower in the filter range and let the brighter harmonics appear only on accents. That keeps the bass threatening instead of glossy. And if the break is busy, simplify the bass even further. Often the heaviest DNB tracks feel huge because the bass is not overplaying. It's phrased better. So as you build this, remember the core idea. The bass should feel like it's being pulled by the break, not layered over it, not fighting it, pulled by it. Sub clean and centered, mid layer full of movement and grit, rhythm shaped by selective note placement, wobble controlled by phrase, not by constant motion. That's the sound of a bass line that actually belongs in a jungle leaning drop. Your practice move is simple. Build a four-bar loop with a separate sub and mid layer. Keep the mid bass to a handful of notes per bar. Add at least one slightly late note. Make bar 3 or 4 change in some way so the loop feels like a real phrase, not a static pattern. Then check it in mono. If the snare still hits, the bass still reads, and the groove still leans the right way, you've got it. Keep going. The cleaner version usually wins, the tighter rhythm usually hits harder, and the best wobble is the one that feels like it was born from the break itself. Now build the loop. Print a tight version and a nastier version, and listen to which one actually serves the drop. That's where the real DNB decisions start to pay off.